ओमगिनचमिनन्दस्य जनार्दनसलकया चक्षुसुमिलितान् येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनुविष्टामस्तुपितां जनभूतले स्वयं रूपकलामायं ददति स पण्डितम्. पंचकौपतुभ्यश्च कृपसन्नभैभ्यश्च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Devasa Muni being chased by the chakra of Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, he took shelter of the Lord. Devasa Muni, as we remember, had tried to harm innocent Ambarish Maharaj, the great devotee. And as a result, the Lord's chakra that was protecting Ambarish Maharaj chased Devasa Muni, and he could find no shelter or relief. He finally went to Lord Vishnu, who is the chakradhari. He is the holder of the chakra. But yet, instead of accepting the surrender of Devasa Muni, the Lord just glorified his devotees in such an incredible way. He glorified Maharaj Ambarish, saying that practically speaking, they are no different than me. They are in my heart, I am in their hearts. And you have committed a great offense. And therefore, the only way of getting freed from your offense and trying to hurt Ambarish Maharaj is to beg forgiveness at his lotus feet, satisfy him, go immediately to him. And thereby, the Lord said, there will be all fortune for you. Devasa Muni was terrified. The chakra, the heat of the chakra was burning him, practically speaking. Sukadeva Goswami opens, chapter 5 opens with Sukadeva Goswami speaking. When thus advised by Lord Vishnu, Devasa Muni, who was very much harassed by the Sudarsan chakra, immediately approached Maharaj Ambarish, being very much aggrieved. The Muni fell down and clasped the king's lotus feet. Devasa Muni was so powerful. Actually, as we've heard, he is a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, one of the sons of, I think, Atri Muni. So powerful this personality is. That power was springing from himself. But that power springing from himself was immediately insignificant when affronting the power of Ambarish Maharaj. And his power was not at all his own power. And this is the significance of being a devotee. From the point of view of protection, from the point of view of advancement, because the devotee gives everything to Krishna, he puts his protection in Krishna's hands, and this is the essence of surrender, the main part of surrender. Gotripte varanam tata. That is actually the meaning of surrender, Srila Jiva Goswami explains. Placing oneself under the guardianship fully of the Lord. And all the other elements of surrender can be understood from this element. So Maharaj Ambarish was not at all perturbed. And now Devasa Muni, in great fear, is being forced to take shelter of Ambarish Maharaj. Devasa Muni clasped the king's lotus feet. When Devasa Muni touched his lotus feet, Maharaj Ambarish was very much ashamed. And when he saw Devasa attempting to offer prayers, because of mercy, he was aggrieved even more. He felt terrible. Here he was, a householder, a king, and this sage was holding his feet. Very well known, very powerful sage offering prayers. Please protect me, please protect me. So that actually caused pain in his heart. He's revealing in this way what a devotee actually is. Although so powerful, he does not at all think himself powerful. He just thinks himself insignificant, a tempting servant of the Lord, the Lord's devotees. So thus, when he was so aggrieved to see Devasa Muni in this condition, he immediately, Maharaj Ambarish, immediately began offering prayers to the great weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in text 3 through 11, there are 9 prayers that that Ambarish Maharaj offers to the chakra. And the last two I found especially touching. First, he glorifies the chakra. O Sudarsan Chakra, Maharaj Ambarish said, you are fire. You are the most powerful sun. What is the function of the sun? Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hayandakar removes all darkness. And you are the moon, the master of all luminaries. The sun and the moon, heat and coolingness, shade. You are water, earth and sky. You are the air. You are the 5 sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste and smell. And you are the senses also. O most favorite of Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have thousands of spokes. O master of the material world, destroyer of all weapons, original vision of the Personality of Godhead, because the chakra is sometimes understood as the time factor, and it actually causes all the destruction of everything in this world, because time, this energy of Paramatma, crushes everything within the world. So this time enters the material world when the Lord glances at the material energy, Taraikshita, I think that, yes, Saikshita, Sarashrajita, in the next purport Prabhupada quotes this. The glance of the Lord is composed of the time factor, the living entities, and also the karma of the living entities. And when this enters the material world, then before it enters, it is called pradhan, and is undifferentiated. But when the action of these three, the time factor, the living entities and their karma, that stirs the material world into activity, and it becomes mahatattva. This is described in the teachings of Kapiladeva. So he's the glance, the original vision of the Personality of Godhead, that Lord's glance, Shambhu, coming into the material world. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Kindly give shelter and be auspicious to this Brahmana. O Sudarshan wheel, your religion, your truth, your encouraging statements, you are sacrifice. You are the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. You are the maintainer of the entire universe, and you are the supreme transcendental prowess in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the original vision of the Lord, and therefore you are known as Sudarshana. Everything has been created by your activities, and therefore you are all-pervading. Prabhupada's purport, short purport. The word Sudarshana means auspicious vision. From Vedic instructions, we understand that this material world is created by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Saikshita, Sarasrajita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead glanced over the Mahatattva, or the total material energy, and when it was agitated, everything came into existence. This is interesting what Prabhupada is going to say here. Western philosophers sometimes think that the original cause of creation was a chunk that exploded. Usually Prabhupada will give the chunk theory a big
kick.
And he'll say, but they never ask, where does the chunk come from? If it's a chunk that it exploded and that's the, how can a chunk be the origin? The chunk has to have an origin. But here Prabhupada is incorporating. So he says, if one thinks of this chunk as the total material energy, the Mahatattva, one can thus understand that the chunk was agitated by the glance of the Lord, and thus the Lord's glance is the original cause of material creation. Maharaj Ambarish continues, O Sudarshana, you have a very auspicious hub, and therefore you are the upholder of all religion. The hub holds the wheel together. And that hub, or the Sudarshan Chakra, upholds all religion. You are just like an inauspicious comet. Comets are considered inauspicious for the irreligious demons. Indeed, you are the maintainer of the three worlds. You are full of transcendental effulgence. You are as quick as the mind, and you are able to work wonders. I can simply utter the word Namah, offering all obeisances unto you. O master of speech, by your effulgence, full of religious principles, the darkness of the world is dissipated, and the knowledge of learned persons or great souls is manifested. Indeed, no one can surpass your effulgence. For all things manifested and unmanifested, gross and subtle, superior and inferior, are but various forms of you that are manifested by your effulgence. Everything comes from this energy of the Lord. Purport. Without illumination, nothing can be seen, especially in this material world. The illumination in this world emanates from the effulgence of Sudarshan, the original vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illuminating principles of the sun, the moon, and fire emanate from Sudarshan. Similarly, illumination by knowledge also comes from Sudarshan, because with the illumination of Sudarshan, one can distinguish one thing from another, the superior from the inferior. Generally, people accept a powerful yogi like Durvasa Muni as wonderfully superior, because people always are impressed by someone who is powerful. When that person is a yogi, or someone has great charisma, or someone is very beautiful, all opulences give power, or very, very wealthy, or very strong, or famous, or very renounced, or knowledgeable. Everyone is very impressed and thinks these people are very wonderful, and a powerful yogi like Durvasa Muni create, kill, do so many things. Bless. He was the one who had blessed Kunti Devi with the ability to invoke the different demigods that eventually gave her her Pandava sons, as her sons. It was his blessing. So people think that he is wonderfully superior. But if a person is chased by, such a person is chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, we can see his real identity and understand how inferior he is because of his dealings with devotees. So the Sudarshan Chakra, or time, reveals everything. It reveals what is superior, what is inferior. So here it was revealed the position of Durvasa Muni in comparison to the great devotee Ambarish. O indefatigable one, when you are sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to enter among the soldiers of the Daityas and the Danavas, you stay on the battlefield and unendingly separate their arms, bellies, thighs, legs, and heads. O protector of the universe, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his all-powerful weapon in killing the envious enemies. For the benefit of our entire dynasty, kindly favor this poor Brahmana. This will certainly be a favor for all of us. Here are the last two verses, which have no purports, which intrigued me very much. Remember, Ambarish is just, this Durvasa Muni has come. asking to be, he was invited to be fed. Something happens, it's very, very slight or insignificant irregularity, or practically speaking, no irregularity. And Ambarish Maharaj hadn't eaten for a year. He was observing this, his vratas. And he was cursed. And he didn't retaliate in any way. And this is what he says when that same Brahmana who just cursed him comes to him and begs forgiveness and please save me and please help me. He offers prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra, and then he says, if our family has given charity to the proper persons, if we have performed ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, if we have properly carried out occupational duties, and if we have been guided by learned brahmanas, in other words, if we've done anything pious in our life, because piety is like money in one sense. Because with money, you can get so many things. With piety, you can obtain so many things. So what does he wish to exchange or cash in his piety for? I wish in exchange, if we have done anything of value, that this brahmana be freed from the burning caused by the Sudarshan Chakra. And even more strong, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is one without a second, who is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, and who is the life and soul of all living entities, is pleased with us, what do we want by virtue of that pleasure? We wish that this brahmana, Devasamuni, be free from the pain of being burned. So how unselfish. He's really revealing the heart, the qualities of a devotee. Let me exchange everything for the benefit of another. This actually makes one guru. We really learn this again from the pastime of Jagai and Madhai when they were saved by the plan of Nityananda Prabhu. Because Nityananda Prabhu, when he desired to save them, his thought was, if I can somehow evoke Lord Chaitanya's mercy upon them, then my mission will be successful. So he is Sri Guru, and that is Gauranga. So what is he thinking? He thinks, I am the Guru, but I don't have any potency to save anyone. But I know that Gauranga, or my Guru, has so much potency. So if somehow or another, if I can make an arrangement that this person gets the merciful glance or the blessings of the Guru, of my Guru upon him, then he'll be saved. So that's the position of the spiritual master. That he knows, and this is what Prabhupada actually said when he, in the famous conversation we were saying, who would be the gurus after his departure, he said, he who knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his own spiritual master, he can be guru. Because then he will be able to do this. He will know how to be merciful, not by his own power, but by engaging and instructing his student in such a way that the predecessor acharyas are pleased with him and bestow their mercy upon him. And thus he becomes a transparent media for mercy. So when Nityananda Prabhu, so he had this whole scheme going, how to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And as we said in perhaps the last class, when Madhai had thrown something and made him bleed, Nitai said that Jagai stopped him from throwing it again and causing me further harm. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, his mercy, his heart melted and his compassion went to Jagai. Immediately. So he had half of his desire was fulfilled. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was merciful. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't directly give Madai mercy. He had to gain the favor of Nityananda Prabhu, and then he would gain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And Nityananda Prabhu prayed in the same exact way when he said, "Please forgive me," to him, to Nityananda Prabhu. When Madai fell at his feet and begged forgiveness, he said, "If there is any piety that I've accumulated by my service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if I've done anything good, anything spiritual, let it all come to Madai." So selfless. A heart devoid of false ego, of selfishness. This is the requirement to be a Vaishnava. It's a very high requirement. No false ego. False ego is the basis of the material world. Real ego, real identity, is the basis of the spiritual world. But soon as we Krishna Bhule Se Jivanande Bahyamuk, immediately, as soon as we turn our back on Krishna, then that means turning our back on our real identity, on who we actually are. Jiva Sarup. Sarupa means one's own form. Krishna, Nityadas, the eternal servant of Krishna. That's who we are, actually our Swarup, who we actually are. So when we turn on our back on that, we get ahankar, a false sense of self. So when the consciousness of the soul is reflected into matter, he gets a false concept of who he is, and that's called false ego. And that is the first thing that evolves when the glance of the Lord enters the material world. False ego combines with the three modes of material nature one after another and creates. And then the whole universe comes. It's all based on this false ego, the whole material creation. So what does false ego mean? Not Krishna in the center, but I am the center. So just see Ambarish Maharaj, see the quality of a devotee, and see why Krishna, as we heard in yesterday's verses, loves his devotee so much. And the devotee can be like this because Krishna is in their heart, it's not artificial. And because they are like that, they are in the heart of Krishna. He is not ungrateful. Grateful, full of greatness. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "When the king offered prayers to the Sudarshan Chakra and Lord Vishnu, because of his prayers, the Sudarshan Chakra became peaceful and stopped burning the Brahmana known as Devasa Muni." Devasa Muni, the greatly powerful mystic, was indeed satisfied when freed from the fire of the Sudarshan Chakra. Thus he praised the qualities of Maharaj Ambarish and offered him the highest benedictions. This is what Devasa Muni said. "My dear king, today I have experienced the greatness of devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For although I have committed an offense, you have prayed for my good fortune." No false ego. "For those who have achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of the pure devotees, what is impossible to do and what is impossible to give up?" So that indicates that other than a devotee, a pure devotee, when someone tries to harm another person, there will always be some retaliation, there will always be some reaction, there will always be some enmity that comes. Because unless there is devotion, pure devotion, there is false ego. So it will bounce off the false ego. So what is impossible to do for a pure devotee? And what is impossible to give up for Krishna's pleasure? So Devasa Muni is quite realized. "What is impossible for the servants of the Lord? By the very hearing of his holy name, one is purified. O King, overlooking my offenses, you have saved my life. Thus I am very much obliged to you because you are so merciful. So that was what Devasa Muni responded to, being in contact with Ambarish Maharaj and getting a glimpse of this devotee's, this great devotee's power and quality of his consciousness. Expecting, the pastime continues, expecting the return of Devasa Muni, because Devasa Muni had run after because the Sudarshan Chakra was chasing him. Expecting the return of Devasa Muni, the king had not taken his food. Therefore, when the sage returned, the king fell at his lotus feet, at Devasa Muni's feet, pleasing him in all respects, and fed him sumptuously. Thus the king respectfully received Devasa Muni, who after eating varieties of palatable food was so satisfied that with great affection he requested the king to eat also, saying, "Please take your meal." Devasa Muni said, "I am very pleased with you, my dear king. At first I thought of you as an ordinary human being and accepted your hospitality. But later I could understand by my own intelligence that you are the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Therefore, simply by seeing you, touching your feet, and talking with you, I've been pleased and have become obliged to you." Prabhupada's purport. It is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bhujhaya. Even a very intelligent man cannot understand the activities of a pure Vaishnava. Therefore, because Devasa Muni was a great mystic yogi, he first mistook Maharaj Ambarish for an ordinary human being and wanted to punish him. Such is the mistaken observation of a Vaishnava. When Devasa Muni was persecuted by the Sudarshan Chakra, however, his intelligence developed. That's also interesting. Why is that interesting? Does anyone have any?
Yeah. Previously, the Siddhartha had a source of illumination.
Hmm.
Intelligence.
Yes. More? Any other thoughts on this?
Because it's time.
Yeah, and how does that increase?
Because as you approach death, you're forced to.
Yeah. Time makes someone smart in that sense. And if they're lucky, fortunate, and have enough sukriti, they'll see what's happening and become devotionally inclined, at least understand how insignificant we are. So in that sense, time can gift one with intelligence, but also there's a saying that there is no fool like an old fool. That someone who doesn't get intelligence by the passing of time becomes the greatest of fools. Why? And what does that usually refer to? Someone who's really trying to enjoy in his old age, and what happens to him? He gets cheated and loses all his money. He becomes completely bewildered and loses everything. So there is no fool like an old fool. But age should naturally bring wisdom if one is intelligent, paying attention to what's going on. So the Sudarshan Chakra, in time, in its own sometimes unpleasant ways, gifts us with intelligence.
What was the sentence again?
When Devasa Muni was persecuted by the Sudarshan Chakra, however, his intelligence developed.
That's interesting. The word persecuted.
Yes.
It's not just that he became wiser with life or,
persecuted by life. That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
It doesn't say, just live life. He's persecuted by it and his intelligence developed.
Yeah, after persecution.
Just saying that persecution and development of intelligence put together in that.
Yes, it's really interesting. So therefore, persecution becomes the greatest fortune, although it certainly doesn't feel like it in the midst of the persecution, if you're fortunate. Therefore, the word Atma Medasa is used to indicate that by his personal experience, he would understand how great a Vaishnava the king was. When Devasa Muni was chased by the Sulishan Chakra, he wanted to take shelter of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And he was even able to go to the spiritual world. So he was so powerful that he could get to the spiritual, he could find Lord Brahma, he could find Lord Shiva. But still more powerfully and amazingly, he could actually go to Lord Vishnu and speak to him and talk with him, face to face, meet the personality of Godhead. Yet he was unable to be rescued from the attack of the Sudarshan Chakra. Thus he can understand the influence of a Vaishnava by personal experience. Devasa Muni was certainly a great yogi and a very learned brahmana. But despite his being a real yogi, he was unable to understand the influence of a Vaishnava. Therefore it is said, Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigyeha na bujhaya. Even the most learned person cannot understand the value of a Vaishnava. There is always a possibility for so-called jnanis and yogis to be mistaken when studying the character of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava can be understood by how much he is favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in terms of his inconceivable activities. Text 21. Devasa Muni said, all the blessed women in the heavenly planets will continuously chant about your spotless character at every moment, and the people of this world will also chant your glories continuously. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, thus being satisfied in all respects, the great mystic yogi Devasa took permission and left, continuously glorifying the king. Through the skyways he went to Brahmaloka, which is devoid of agnostics and dry philosophical speculators. At the end of Prabhupada's purport, he says, Devasa Muni's purpose in going to Brahmaloka was apparently to speak to the residents of Brahmaloka about how powerful a devotee is and how a devotee can surpass every living entity within this material world. The so-called jnanis and yogis cannot compare to a devotee. Devasa Muni had left the palace of Maharaj Ambarish, and as long as he had not returned for one complete year, the king had fasted, maintaining himself simply by drinking water. After 1 year, when Devasa Muni had returned, King Ambarish sumptuously fed him all varieties of pure food, and then he himself also ate. When the king saw that the brahmana, Devasa, had been released from the great danger of being burned, he could understand. When the king saw that the brahmana, Devasa, had been released from the danger of being burned, he could also understand that by the grace of the Lord, he himself was also powerful. But he did not take any credit, for everything had been done by the Lord. Also interesting, he understood it after, indirectly. Purport. A devotee like Maharaj Ambarish is certainly always busy in many activities. Of course, this material world is full of dangers that one has to meet. But a devotee, because of his full dependence on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is never disturbed. The vivid example is Maharaj Ambarish. He was the emperor of the entire world and had many duties to perform. And in the course of these duties, there were many disturbances created by persons like Devasa Muni. But the king tolerated everything, patiently depending fully on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord, however, is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya jaham ride sanavista. And he manages things as he desires. Thus, although Maharaj Ambarish was faced with many disturbances, the Lord, being merciful to him, managed things so nicely that in the end, Devasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish became great friends and parted cordially on the basis of Bhakti Yoga. After all, Devasa Muni was convinced of the power of Bhakti Yoga, though he himself was a great mystic yogi. Therefore, as stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api savesham madgaten antaratmana sradavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Madgetena antaratmanam, always thinking of me within, and Shraddhavan, with great faith, Bhajate Yomam, worshipping me, doing my bhajan. Same yuktatamamata, of all yogis, yoginam apisavesham, of all yogis, same yuktatamamata, this one is in a class by himself, so superior. He who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Thus it is a fact that a devotee is the topmost yogi, as proved in the dealings of Maharaj Ambarish with Devasa Muni. Again, we should remember that this ninth canto prepares us for the tenth canto. This ninth canto is, let's see, the ninth, Mukti. Ashraya. In any case, the showing that the Ashraya, or the Lord, is the shelter of all the other topics that are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. He is the supreme shelter. Therefore, it is called Muktipad. That is the name of the Lord. So therefore, the devotee is the greatest of yogis, greatest of personalities, and of the devotees, the topmost are the residents of Vrindavan, who are the greatest amongst the greatest amongst the greatest, the greatest mystics. They are so powerful that they can control Krishna. Mother Yasoda is so powerful she can make him cry. She's so powerful she can tie him up. He who is unlimited, she can tie him up, Damodar, tie him up around his belly. So the greatest of the yogis. 25. In this way, because of devotional service, Maharaj Ambarish, who is endowed with varieties of transcendental qualities, was completely aware of Brahman Paramatma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And thus he executed devotional service perfectly. Because of his devotion, he thought even the topmost planet of this material world no better than a hellish planet. Purport. An exalted and pure devotee like Maharaj Ambarish is in full awareness of Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. In other words, a devotee of Vasudev, Krishna, is in full knowledge of the other features of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is realized in three features: Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan iti sabyate. A devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, knows everything. Vasudeva savamiti, because Vasudev, Krishna, includes both Paramatman and Brahman. So Prabhupada was once asked, I was on a morning walk, I think. I'm not sure where, maybe in Mayapur or Hyderabad or somewhere. What the meaning of the fact that a devotee or the spiritual master knows everything? Is it that he knows how many pieces are in a car? What is it? Does he know, you know, how many whatever? Does he know how to fix motorcycles? No, he doesn't know everything in that sense. But Prabhupada said he knows how to preach. He knows Krishna, so he knows everything. Mean, he knows the topmost knowledge. He knows Krishna properly. He knows Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. He knows the tattva. He knows everything, Vasudeva Savamiti, because Krishna, Vasudeva, Krishna includes both Paramatma and Brahman. One does not have to realize Paramatma by the yoga system, for the devotee always thinking of Vasudev is the topmost yogi. One time, one devotee in the very early days of the movement wrote Prabhupada a letter and said, since Bhagavan realization is the highest realization, and I've not realized Brahman realization, Brahman, which is a lower realization, I think I'm going to leave now, and when I'll come back after I've realized Brahman. And Prabhupada's reply was, do you know? He said, are you chanting your 16 rounds a day? And the devotee wasn't. So the process of realizing all three at once is to just go for the Bhagavan realization. So one does not have to realize Paramatma by the yoga system. For the devotee always thinking of Vasudeva is the topmost yogi, yogi namapi sarvesham. And as far as jnana is concerned, if one is a perfect devotee of Vasudeva, he is the greatest Mahatma. Vasudeva savamiti sa Mahatma sadolava. A Mahatma is one who has full knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Thus, Maharaj Ambarish, being a devotee of the Personality of Godhead, was in full awareness of Brahma, of Paramatma Brahman, Maya, the material world, the spiritual world, and how things are going on everywhere. Everything was known to him. Yasmin vigyate savamivam vigyatam bhavati. Because the devotee knows Vasudeva, he knows everything within the creation of Vasudeva. Vasudeva savamiti samahatma sadolava. Such a devotee does not give much value to the highest standard of happiness within this world. So he knows everything in its proper perspective. He knows everything in that sense. Nanayana paraksave nakutastana bibhyati svago pavaga narakeshu apitoyata darshana. Because he is fixed in devotional service, a devotee does not regard any position in the material world as important. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has therefore written in Chaitanya Chandramrita 5, the 5th verse, Kaivaya Narakayate Chidasapura Kashapushpayate Dudantendriya Kala Sarprapatali Prokata Damstrayate Vishvam Purna Sukhayate Vidhi Mahendradis Cha Kitayate Yat Karunya Kataksha Vibhava Vatam Tam Gorom Evastumaha. For one who becomes a pure devotee through devotional service to great personalities like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kaivalya, or merging into Brahman, appears no better than hell. As far as the heavenly planets are concerned, to a devotee they are like a phantasmagoria, a will-o'-the-wisp. They are just fleeting, they're not really there, just illusory. And as far as yogic perfection is concerned, a devotee does not care a fig for such perfection, since the purpose of yogic perfection is achieved automatically by the devotee, as this pastime with Ambarish Maharaj and Devasa Muni shows clearly. This is all possible when one becomes a devotee of the Lord through the medium of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. Text 26. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, because of his advanced position in devotional life, Maharaj Ambarish, who no longer desired to live with material things, retired from active family life. He divided his property among his sons, who were equally as qualified, and he himself took the order of Manuprastha and went to the forest to concentrate his mind fully on the Lord and Lord Vasudev. The question is asked, why is it he was already such a great devotee? Why did he leave? What was the requirement for his retiring from his position as king? I think that's in the next purport. So I'll read the next verse and then that purport. Anyone who chants this narration, or even thinks of this narration, so maybe you haven't chanted it, but at least we all easily have the facility to think about the narration of the activities of Maharaj Ambarish. This is called Shruti Phal, the fruit of hearing. What happens? He certainly becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur herein gives a very good example. When one is very eager for more and more money, he is not satisfied even when he is a millionaire or or a multimillionaire, but wants to earn more and more money by any means, the same mentality is present in a devotee. The devotee is never satisfied, thinking, this is the limit of my devotional service. The more he engages in the service of the Lord, the more service he wants to give. This is the position of a devotee. Maharaj Ambarish in his family life was certainly a pure devotee, complete in every respect. His mind and all his senses were engaged in devotional service. He was certainly a pure devotee. Savai mana krishna pararavindaya vachamsi vaikunta gunana vanane. Maharaj Ambarish was self-satisfied because all of his senses were engaged in devotional service. Sarvapati vinyamuktam tatpuritvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchite. Nonetheless, although Maharaj Ambarish had engaged all his senses in devotional service, he left his home and went to the forest to concentrate his mind fully at the lotus feet of Krishna. Exactly as a mercantile man, even though complete in wealth, tries to earn more and more. This mentality of getting more and more engaged in devotional service puts one in the most exalted position. There's the famous verse, Krishna bhakti rasato bhavato mati kriyatam yali kuto pilapite tatra loyam apimuyam ekalam. This is the price. The price that's required to gain Krishna bhakti rasa, the incredibly sweet mellow of a full reciprocation with Krishna. This is it over here. To be in the mood of a greedy merchant. This mentality of getting more and more engaged in devotional service puts one in the most exalted position. And indeed, it's the price for obtaining that most exalted position. Whereas on the karma platform, the mercantile man who wants more and more money becomes increasingly bound and entangled. The devotee becomes increasingly liberated. Ambarishasya charitam yeshvinvanti mahatmanaha muktim prayanti te sarve bhakti vishnu prasadatah. By the grace of the Lord, those who hear about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish, the great devotee, certainly become liberated or become devotees without delay. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Vasa Muni's Life is Spared. Hare Krishna. At this point we're inclined to thank Srila Prabhupada for his great work of translating Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Very kind. Us fallen souls. Any questions or comments? Did you want to say anything? No, you didn't raise your hand. No. Okay. But was that a yes or a no?
I was just when you were asking before we were talking about the persecution of the chakra.
Yes.
Very good intelligence.
Yes.
We were talking today how when you have a near-death experience, that destroys a lot of the false ego in the person.
Yeah.
So maybe you can also say that the Vasa Muni's obviously had some ego when he was dealing with Ambarish.
Yeah.
That because he had that experience, he's going to die by the,
yes,
by the persecution of the chakra, then he,
yes,
realized life is short and,
yeah. Yeah. You I remember you mentioned the fellow living near you. He was really giving the devotees trouble. And then he had a heart attack, and then he became very gentle after that. Yeah. But it's because of piety too. Because suffering alone doesn't bring one closer to God necessarily, but you have to have a certain piety, and then if some suffering comes, it brings out some realizations. Some people just become angry and bitter and more venomous, but that means some goodness in his heart.
Well, the bottom moon is obviously a quiet person.
Yeah, it's quiet.
I was also thinking that Ambrish Maharaj, in actuality, ended up fasting for 2 years.
It seems like it.
That's what it seems like, isn't it?
Yeah. And he didn't complain. Just very humble, gentle.
Why did Ambrish Maharaj, when he was liberated, he went to the forest? Did he answer that question?
There were two reasons. One was because he wanted to set the example, an example that whatever position one's in, towards the end of one's life, one has to retire and focus, and without distraction, focus one's mind on the Lord. And the other answer was that no matter how advanced and exalted he was greedy for more exaltation and advancement and a facility and opportunity to focus his mind solely upon Krishna without being distracted. So both those reasons are given. And that was the point of the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's example of the merchant still wanting more, not being satisfied with what he has. And actually, that's the soul doesn't obtain satisfaction until that bhakti lata pierces this world, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, of the tree of the Lord, because a creeper needs the shelter of a tree. And when the fruit, when it does that, then the fruit of prema comes upon the creeper, and then it's satisfied. Until one actually gains one's constitutional, fully constitutional position, then there's not complete satisfaction. So he wanted more. He wanted to be in a situation we, without distraction, concentrate on thinking of Krishna. And also to set an example. And that eagerness, tatraloyam apimuyam ekalam, that eagerness is the price that one has to pay to gain Krishna bhakti rasa. Did you want to say something?
In a couple of classes ago, we were discussing the fasting of Maharaj Ambarish.
Yes.
And we just want to say this specifically.
Yes.
Tonight, you mentioned that he fasted for a year.
After.
Just taking water.
Yes.
So that would seem to indicate that the fast was just the water.
But there was only a year after Vardavasa
was away. So I've written to one devotee who requested that he look in the Sanskrit commentaries to see if any details are in there, and as of yet I haven't received a reply. But as soon as I get that reply, since you live so nearby, I'll send you an email message.
Kelly Chandler Maharaj was here a couple of weeks ago. He was showing some video of Prabhupada in 1974 in Los Angeles, and proposing it to Maharaj Ambarish. His attitude, Prabhupada was saying, he says, if you are jealous,
yes,
then you're in the material world. He says, if you have no jealousy, no envy, you're in the spiritual world. He says, it's a simple test. He says, when you look out, and if there's anything that you are envious or critical of, or desirous, then you know you're in the material world. If you can't look out for deception, equanimity, then you're in the spiritual world.
Yeah. I've heard an interesting explanation of why that's true. Simple. And the explanation was that, say if there's someone who has something that we don't have in the material world, and we see that and we look out, as you're saying, and we become jealous in the heart. So if we become jealous of what an ordinary old person has in the material world, just imagine how jealous we are with Krishna. So therefore we can't go, we can't, sometimes we, at least I think, boy, I really want to go back to Godhead, but actually I can't. be with Krishna now, with this carrying around all the stuff that I'm carrying around. It's not possible. So soon as the real desire to be with Krishna is there, and all, then the envy is gone, then, because I have to take my position as his servant. So it's because, if I'm jealous of someone in this world, just imagine. So therefore, we can't be it, you know. Thank you both, all. Any other questions or comments? Any questions or comments? Or comments? And comments? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Ambarish Maharaj ki jai, Jirubhubhali ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda.